Today, really wanted to focus on one word. The word is hope. If you'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There was a time when man did not have hope. You and I in this world, we look forward to this time of year. You know, it's starting earlier and earlier. In other words, Christmas trees come out at Home Depot in like October now. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, wow, how much farther they can get back further. Pretty soon it's going to be in August. And I keep noticing things keep getting bumped back. And Black Friday now is about 6 days in the year. I don't know which one it is. Really, I think it's the last one after Thanksgiving, that Friday. But man, you know, they've got them all kinds of different places. And the hope is that people can make money. The hope is that Christmas time is coming and all your family can get together. And the hope is that everything will be sweet and wonderful. The hope is that we'll all be able to get together and enjoy one another as a family. A lot of times families are fractured and there's a hope around Christmas time. If ever everyone's going to do good, if ever there's the time when people are pleasant and loving to each other, it's Christmas. It's just that time of year. But I want you to take a note this morning of that word hope. Hope has not always been in our vocabulary necessarily. If you have your Bible, turn with me if you would to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now let's skip down to verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong passage. If you read that, you get the wrong book, okay? Let me. Ephesians 2, verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, all of us that are not Jewish are Gentiles. We're in the flesh. And you'll notice, if you would, down in verse number 12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. And here's this little line, I have it underlined in my Bible. Having no hope and without God in the world. Do you realize that many times we can get in a position where we have no hope? There are people that have ill health and the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's not much hope I can give you. All is not lost. That's what I want to bring your attention to this morning. We always have hope. The Lord is our hope, but I want you to understand that there are many times, those of us in this room, there was a time when we did not have hope. When there is no Savior, when there's no one to pay your debt of sin, you and I've got to pay it ourselves. That's the reason Christmas brings hope to us, because Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He was born here that he might give you and I the hope of the gospel, that we could put our faith and trust in the Lord and the promises that he's made to us. And so in this passage, he says, look, there are people all around the world that have had no hope. And until you have the Lord, you have no hope. Now, we're born that way. We're born without hope because we're born sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Nobody in this room can look at the Lord and say, Lord, look at me. I deserve to go to heaven. So we're without hope. And unless Jesus Christ came, all of us would have lived a whole life and died without hope. Without hope of heaven. Without hope of a God that loves us. That would be able to, we could spend time with. Without hope. And I want you to understand today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I don't mean you come to church or you have been baptized or you've given money or whatever, but you've never met Jesus Christ face to face, person to person, and you've come to him and said, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. I know Christmas is about me. You were born for me. And I hope you understand that. He was born to give you and I hope. Now, we don't have to receive it. If you have your Bible, turn back to Jeremiah. This is one of the saddest passages in all the Bible to me. Jeremiah chapter 18. Now you remember Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He's desperately trying to get people to do what's right. And people are all caught up in their world in that day. They're caught up in false worship. And when I say that, they're caught up in worshiping the sun god, the moon god, and all kinds of different gods, plants, all kinds of things. And you'll notice, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 18, he said in verse 11, "Now therefore go to and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." Now notice, if you would, he says, "Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one of you from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good." In other words, come back to me. Put your faith and trust in me. Remember, that's just a chapter before we read, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Lord, I'll put my trust in you. And I won't put it in Ashtaroth. Lord, I won't put it in Baal. I won't put it, Lord, in any of these other gods. Lord, I'll put them in you." And so he's pleading with them, Jeremiah is. You have to understand, Jeremiah had a broken heart. This morning we went over the difference between prayer and supplication. Prayer in Sunday school. Prayer is simply you making a request to someone. It could be, "Would you run to the store and get something for me?" That would be a prayer if it were given to the Lord. "Lord, would you help me get something this week?" That could be a prayer. But supplication is whenever you get maybe down on your knees and you block everything else out and you focus on one thing and say, "Lord, I need something this week. Lord, I need you to guide the doctors. I'm going to have surgery this week. Would you protect me this week?" You're supplicating. You're pouring your heart into it. And so there's a difference. Well, Jeremiah is pouring his heart into these people. And he said, "Look, would you return back to the Lord? The Lord loves you." And I want you to notice what they say. Verse number 12. And they said, "There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. And we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart." Can you imagine looking at the great God of heaven and telling him, "There's no hope, I'm coming back to you. There's no hope for me and there's no hope for you." Now maybe you're here today and you sort of made this decision. I'm without hope today, Pastor. I don't know the Lord. I'm not interested in the Lord. And I'm just going to keep doing what I do. You'll notice they did things to make themselves happy. They wanted their own thoughts and their own devices, their own ideas. Now, the Lord erased the world in Genesis chapter 6 because every imagination of thoughts of man were only evil continually. And God said, "I can't take that." So he found one man, Noah, and he erased the rest of the people off the face of the earth. Noah, his wife, and his three sons, and their three wives. And he started all over. I don't know if you heard it this week, but it came out. I don't know if it was a farce or whatever it was, but it came out this week that that all human beings are from one mother and father. Did you hear that? Yeah, I could have told you that a long time ago. I've already read about that. It's in Scripture. It's Noah and his wife. And, you know, I look here in this passage, and it was the same day in Noah's day. We don't want to do what's right. We don't care about what's right. Lord, we don't want you. You died in vain. We don't want to put our hope in you. And today, I cannot imagine there are people like that, but they're all over. And then yet, maybe you would not just say, "Lord, you've got no hope to get me." Maybe you'd just say, "Lord, maybe one day, but I'm busy. I'm really thinking about it, but I'm just, maybe you're like this man." Paul reasoned with Felix, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Maybe that's your answer to the Lord. "Lord, not today, but one of these days maybe I will. But right now there's no hope for me trusting you as Savior. I don't have any hope in my heart that you can save me. Right now, just not today." Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've come to the point to be like Israel. "No hope for me to do right. There's no hope for me to trust you as my Savior." You know, I look in that passage and I greatly feel for Felix. I pray for several people on my prayer list every morning. I did again this morning, that are not saved. And I "Lord, would you please save so-and-so?" Some of them you know, your family. Some of them are my family. Some are just, "Lord, please, would you work in their hearts? Would you give them hope that you can pay their debt of sin?" Now, I want you to, if you would, take your Bible. I want you to see how we can give some hope. If you have your Bible, turn with you to Psalm 78. This may surprise you. There are some people who say there is no hope. How can we give some hope? Everybody in this room, how can you give somebody hope? How can you give your family hope? Notice verse 1, Psalm 78. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." In other words, he says, look, pay attention to Scripture. Listen, I'm going to give you something. Verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. Our fathers have told us." Now watch this. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." In other words, all of us in this room, he's given us a copy of the Scriptures. He said, you need to make them known to your children. And you need to tell them all the wonderful works that God has done in your life. The answers to prayer, the answers to your supplications when you poured your heart out to the Lord. You can give them some hope, maybe. Notice, if you would, in verse 6, "that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set," what? "Their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Do you understand today that you and I are gifted with the gift of hope? Everybody in this room. You can give it to your children. You know, one of my favorite things about Christmas is to sit down and read the Christmas story, and then we'll go around the room as a family and say, okay, tell me something that you're thankful for. And so each one of us, all of the children, grandchildren, and all of us, we'll go around and thank the Lord for various things. And many times it's a loved one. Many times it's for an answer to prayer. And I want you to understand, sometimes it's for something that we have seen God do in our life and we're sharing it with each other. And you know, most of the time, it's an adult giving hope to the children. It's talking about something that happened in our lives, that there was a tenuous time. I remember one year when we first came here, almost 30 years ago, we came in June, and it was in December, and we were flying back from Dallas. My wife and I and Jeremy had gone to Dallas. We were flying back, and Susan leaned over to me in the plane and said, "Honey, I need to go to the doctor this week." I said, "Christmas week?" And she said, "I know, but I can't see out of my eye." I said, "When?" She said, "Well, it happened a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to mess up Christmas." I said, "Honey." So we get an appointment, go see the doctor, and sure enough, blood vessel had ruptured in her eye. And she couldn't see. And so, long story short, we prayed about it, and the Lord, I remember taking her to the doctor, Johns Hopkins, and they had done all kinds of surgeries and things for her eye, and and they had a patch over her eye, and they took it out, and you know the big E and the little E and the give us, you know, the A E I O N U, the stuff that's on the site deal up there. And so I could see it perfectly, and she couldn't even see the board the first time we went in, and I remember him pulling the patch off and say, and Jeremy and I, and we've been praying as a family, we've been praying and pleading with the Lord to give her back her eyesight. She needed it so she could only shop half as much with one eye, and that was really bothering us. So we wanted to be able to fully shop, and we were praying for her. And boy, I tell you what, he pulled that patch off, and when he pulled the patch off, I'll never forget the statement. 28 years ago, 29 years ago, she said, "Wow, that's a biggie." Well, you know what? I told that story for years to make sure Jeremy didn't forget it. You know, the Lord did that. Amen. Doctor said, "Not, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the blood vessel broke and your eye's full of blood, and we don't know what's going to happen. It may just permanent, you know, we don't know." And when she said, "That's a big E," it was like, thank you, Lord, hope that there's a God in heaven, that he still answers prayer. And so we talk about it to our children. And I remember, you know, my wife had a lot of difficulties. That was diabetic retinopathy in her eye. And the other eye had messed up. And he was in college. And he was praying. And I was praying. And then I'll never forget when he came home. And he wanted to know after the surgery. He said, can Mom see again? And he had been fasting and praying. And we both had been. And sure enough, she could see. The doctor, after all got done, I remember the doctor's name and where we went and the surgery that they did. And when it was finished, again, they pulled off the patch and she could see again. It was just sort of like, Lord, thank you. And it strengthened his faith. You know, one of my prayers, my wife and I's prayers, Jeremy and Mandy called to the mission field. Jeremy had been to Africa. They'd been called to the mission field in Africa. And she had never seen Africa. How would you like to do that? Get married, go on your honeymoon, and a little while after that, go to your home you've never seen. And we were praying, Lord, would you help Mandy to love Africa? Lord, would you help Jeremy to love Africa? And you know, for the Lord to put love in somebody's heart, only he can do that. It's hot. It's miserable hot, right at the equator. No air conditioning. I mean, they got air conditioning, but you can't run it. It's too expensive. And so I remember when we'd go over there, they'd put an air conditioner in Susan's bedroom. And I got to stay with her, so it was really wonderful. And so that room was cool, and you'd walk out, and it was like sweat, you know. I remember, boy, can we eat in that room? Is that okay for us to go in there? I mean, it was wonderful. But I remember Mandy was cooking in the kitchen, and it was 85, 90 degrees in the kitchen, and she was enjoying herself. I said, wow, Lord, thank you. And I watched them weep when they couldn't go back. You know, you just, Lord, please. I don't know all the Lord's plan, but I hope in the Lord, and I know that he has plans for us, and I know that he has plans for you, and I know that he loves you, and he's watching you and taking care of you. And whenever you and I begin to lose hope, whether it's health or finances, or we lose hope because we're facing some difficulty at work or some person, it'll never be right. We begin to lose hope. There's hope in the Lord, and somebody's got to pass that down. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6 of Psalm 78, it says that the generation to come might know them, in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Folks, everybody in this room, there's a point in time where everyone in this room's got to set your hope in something for heaven. For the future, everybody in this room's got to set your hope in something. What's it going to be? It's going to be in baptism? A church membership? Is it going to be in good deeds? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He tells us that. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, I'm not going to let one person get to heaven because of good deeds, because if you did, you'd be standing there, Brandon would be standing there with me, and we'd be bragging about how we got to heaven on good things we did. He said, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll do it all. But it's a free gift, and it's Christmas time. We give gifts Christmas time. I think that came from when the wise men brought gifts to Jesus Christ. You know, I've still never figured it out how it's Christmas. It's his birthday. And Nathan, have you got a gift for your wife? How about Tirza? But it's not their birthday. Everybody here, we got gifts for our family and friends. But what are you going to give for the Lord? It's his birthday. Isn't that strange? It's Brother Scott's birthday, so I'm going to get Brandon a gift. Pastor, something's wrong with you. You don't do that. Brother Brandon said, that's okay with me. I'll take that. But do you know we all do it? Do you realize it's not your kid's birthday? It's not your wife's birthday. It's not your son's birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. But there won't be one present under the tree for Jesus Christ. You know what you can do, though? You can give your children the greatest present in the world, hope in the Lord. Because that hope can take them through rough times. That hope can take them through financial difficulties. That hope in the Lord that he's watching can take them through health issues. I know there's a God in heaven. Oh, I could just sit down and just tell you story after story after story. You know, one of the blessings of my wife being so ill for so long, even though you would not notice it as much, but one of the blessings was that we saw the Lord do so many wonderful things. She's a diabetic for 50 years, and she could still see clearly at the end. She could still think clearly. She could still teach. Oh, she loved teaching. It gave me hope because of her hope. And so all of us in this room, who are you giving hope to? Are you giving any hope to your children? If you have grandchildren, are you giving hope to your grandchildren? Now, how do we do that? Number one, well, you'll notice here, we give hope by talking about the things of the Lord. Notice what he says in verse number five. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children. It's our responsibility to make the promises of God known to our children. Notice, if you would, he says in verse number six, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Even children haven't been born yet. Your grandchildren. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to share with them the wonders of Christ, the wonders of his promises. You're never alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Son, there's never a reason to be afraid. There's never a place you go that the Lord doesn't go with you. There's never a time when you can't say, Lord, I need you. And God says, I'm sorry, but I'm busy. Do you understand? You can always put your hope in the Lord. And here's proof. Do you give that hope to your children? How many of you husbands have given that hope to your wife? Because you know the Lord. And he's real to you. You see, every one of us in this room can give the gift of hope this year by letting someone else see the trust you have in his promises. If you have hope, maybe you're like one of those, there is no hope. I'm not putting my trust in the Lord. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Have you ever thought about that saying? Have you ever seen anybody ever do that? Pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That can't be done. Why did anybody ever say that? I think the Lord just let it be sort of a joke for all of us. I'm going to pull myself up. He pulled himself by his bootstraps. Ain't nobody ever done that. Yeah, we say it. And we say, I can do this and I can do that. Did you understand this morning that nobody in this room can do one thing, but that God allows it because you breathe his air and you use his heart that he gave to you at birth? So the question is, are we giving hope this Christmas? You give hope, number one, by sharing the promises of God from his word. You give hope, number two, by sharing the answers to prayer, by sharing the wonderful works of God, things that he's done that you know he did. There's no other explanation for it. The only explanation is that God did it. There have been time after time after time, just that the Lord has done things in my life, and I just rejoice. And whenever the old devil comes and says, you ought to just forget serving the Lord, and then I jump right back up and say, but what about when God did this? Everybody has got to have that hope in order to stand up for Christ, in order to make it through life with joy in the midst of trouble. It is sharing the words of God, the promises of the Lord. It is sharing the works of the Lord, the things the Lord done that you can brag on him about. And then finally, it is you're giving hope by the way we live. Notice in verse 8 of Psalm 78. In verse 7, it says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know what? You and I, we have the opportunity to give hope by living right, by doing the right thing, by saying, Lord, I want to put my hope in you. My trust is in you. Do your children know that your hope is in the Lord? Do they know that? I always want Jeremy to know that my hope is in the Lord, so that he can have the same God I have. Did you notice it's passed down from generation to generation? That's what God wants us to do. That's the reason he gives us children, so that we can multiply the gospel all around the world. But if we fail to give hope, people lose hope. And Christmas this year, there are millions of people with no hope. And why is that? Because fathers did not talk about the wonders of the Lord. Mothers. And fathers and mothers did not talk about the promises of God. And then finally, fathers and mothers didn't live right. They didn't live in such a fashion that my dad knows the Lord. How many of you had a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, or an uncle that their hope was in the Lord? Raise your hand. How many of those people had made an impression in your life? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Who is it you're giving hope by the way you live? I think through Scripture, and I'm just reminded that there are not a lot of people that give hope. I think of someone like Peter. He walks with Christ. You might say he went to church every day of his life for those 3 years because he walked with Jesus Christ. And remember it was him that the boat started, the storm was there, and he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out and walk on the water. And he jumps out and he starts to walk on the water and looks around and starts to sink. And the Lord covers a great distance of ground, picks him up and takes him into the boat. Why didn't Peter tell everybody in the world how wonderful he was? Why was it whenever they said, you were with him, he began to curse and swear, no, I wasn't. Why didn't he say, that's God himself? Why didn't he give those soldiers hope? I saw him calm the sea. I saw him raise Lazarus from the grave. I saw it. I'm telling you, I was there, and he came forth bound hand and foot with his grave clothes on. I saw it. Why didn't Peter stand up for Christ? Pressure of the world. Wanting to be accepted by people. Wanting to be like the world. But you can't give hope living like that. I've often wondered, did the little maid that said you were with him and he began to curse and swear, did she ever get saved? Peter didn't give her hope. The Bible says he was warming his hands around the fire with some other people. And obviously they were soldiers and had their weapons on them. And whenever she identified him, he began to curse and swear. Why? So that they would think he's not a Christian. I wonder if they died and went to hell because Peter didn't give them hope. But some point in time, Peter changed. You know, when he saw the Lord and he could see his hands and his feet, remember, he was too ashamed to even come close to Christ. Maybe that's you today. You're just embarrassed by some things you've done. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Come back to him and begin your hope again. Let this Christmas be the greatest Christmas ever. You're going to meet somebody. You're going to meet that little girl one of these days. It's going to come up and say, hey, you look like a Christian. You act different. You're going to meet somebody that's going to say, you're not like everybody else. What's different? And you're going to have the chance to say something to give them hope. Will you do it? Peter, if you can picture in your mind, Paul is in prison. And he comes out, they get him out, and he stands before Felix, a man that could set him free. And do you realize that Paul said, freedom is not worth giving you hope? I want to give you hope no matter if I stay in jail or not. And so he shares the gospel with Felix, and Felix begins to tremble and says, oh, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, oh, I wish I could have. Did you know that Paul led many of the people that watched him to Christ? And I love the story whenever he's beaten and he and Silas are thrown into jail. And they decided to give hope to all the people in the jail. Oh, how I love Jesus. And they begin to sing. And everybody begins to hear and say, wow, what's going on? And as they're singing, it's midnight, everybody's asleep, they're waking up. He's giving them hope. He's telling them there's a God in heaven, and then God confirms hope. All the doors open up to the jail. All the doors open up, and that jailer grabs his sword and starts to fall on him because he knows he's a dead man. If one man escapes, that was the Roman law. And he puts it down, and Paul says, stop, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. How did he know that? He was going to give hope. And the man comes in and falls down before him and said, what must I do to be saved? That tells me he was talking about the wonders of Christ. He was talking about how wonderful Christ was, things that Christ did for him, how much of an answer to prayer that he had gotten already, and the joy that he had in his heart. And that soldier said, man, I'm in charge of this jail, but I don't have that kind of joy. I don't have that kind of hope. And the second he heard them, those doors fling open, he went rushing in. What can I do to be saved? Let me ask you this question. Who is it you're giving hope to this Christmas? Folks, we're not here to amass wealth. We're not here to beat everybody else to the top. We're here to give hope. I love the passage that they, we might declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in the Lord. Today, do your children have their hope set in the Lord? Does your wife? Does your husband? If not, let's give them hope. It's Christmas. That's the gift you can give to Jesus Christ. Hope to somebody else. You can give it with a tract. You can give it with a life well lived. You can give it with a word of testimony. All those things mentioned, Deuteronomy 6, Psalm 78. And sometimes we're just in trouble. And even in the midst of trouble, we can give people hope. I close with this. I was 16 years old. I don't want my grandchildren. Where my, Michaela, put your fingers in here. Micah, where's Micah? Is Micah in here? Micah? Okay, Micah. Well, raise your hand if I can say, okay. Put your fingers in your ears, okay? I was 16 years old, and he's 15 and change. I was driving my car through a school zone. But the school zone at that point in time didn't have the sign up. They had it in the middle of the street. How many of you remember those old signs in the middle of the street as you're driving? There'd be a stick, you know, like a stick says school zone, big yellow school zone. And I was driving 30 because that was the speed limit. And I was driving, going to get ready because I didn't want to get a ticket. I wanted my parents to be proud of me. And I was driving and I was looking at the speed limit sign 30 up in front of me. And then it passed by, so I'm doing 30, paying attention, and I missed the sign that says 20. A police officer pulls me over. He said, of course, I'm 16 years old. I'm guilty, you know. He's right. He said, you know how fast you were going? I said, yes, sir, 30. He said, speed limit is 20. I said, it is? And he pointed that stick in the middle of the road, that about this wide. I said, I just missed it. He said, okay. He said, go have a seat in your car. And he said, let me come back. How many have ever been had that experience? Don't raise your hand. I just wanted to just make sure you. So I'm 16 years old, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and I didn't. So I said, I can't believe this. I thought it was doing the right thing. So you know what I did? I said, you know what, sir? I'm really sorry. It's my fault. I should have seen that sign. But I said, you know something? It was my fault a long time ago, and I met Jesus Christ. This police officer starts looking at me. I think he thought I was going to try to say, can you let me off? And I just witnessed to him, and standing right there beside my car, I said, look, one of these days you're going to have to stand before the Lord, gun or no gun. And so am I. And I want you to be ready. You know, I'm guilty. And I'm sorry. I said, wouldn't you like to have Christ as your Savior? He looked at me and said, I sure would, son. Bowed his head and he prayed. Asked the Lord to save him. First ticket. So I went home and I said, Mom, I got good news and bad news. She said, bad news first. I said, how about good news first? Shared with her that I got the ticket, and then I got to see the guy trust Christ as Savior. And, you know, I always thought about this. I was trying to do the right thing. And I think he knew that when he said, how fast were you going? I said, 30. And maybe that's why he listened. But I wonder how many times I've not done the right thing, and somebody was watching. Today, give people hope. In every circumstance, give people hope. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Maybe you're here today, and you could give some people the gift of a lifetime. Hope. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I am concerned about it. You realize there's a God in heaven that knows your name, knows your thoughts, knows every word out of your mouth, and he loves you. And he sent his son to pay your debt of sin. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a minute. We're going to stand to sing. Maybe you would step out of your seat and come down here to the front. We get someone to share with you how you could know you're on your way to heaven. It could be all settled. You could have the gift of a lifetime. The greatest gift ever given. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I haven't been bragging on the Lord like I should have. I know that. I haven't been talking to my family. The Lord is just church to us, and I'd like to change that. I sure would like to just have the Lord be center part of our home. Maybe you need to come today. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to give my children or my grandchildren or my wife, or my husband, hope that they can set their hope in you. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. I encourage you to come. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I know I haven't been doing right. And I've almost said there is no hope. I don't see how I can do right. But I'm willing to trust the Lord. Set your hope in God. He loves you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be your strength. You're here today. Would you put your trust in the Lord? Would you cause him to know that you'll trust him? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. I know there's some marriages in this room, Father. I may not know who they are, but you do, that could stand a big dose of hope. Lord, I know there's some people in this room, crowd this size, that they haven't put their trust in you, don't have the hope for heaven. Would you help them to come? Lord Jesus, would you help us to learn to give other people hope this Christmas season by the words we say, by the blessings we talk about, by the way that we live. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray.